The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath, in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A little tiny thought for you here for the day. As we get towards the middle of Lent, the readings will begin to foreshadow the passion and death of Christ more and more. Jesus will suffer and die at the hands of his own people. And you can hear that in our little gospel right here today. And Jesus almost suffers and dies right here at the hands of his own townspeople in his hometown of Nazareth. What did they get so mad at for? Why did they suddenly turn on the Lord like that? I'd love to give you a whole Bible study class on that. But this morning, can I focus on just one reason why? Okay? Just one reason why. The people had a problem. The problem was they were ill prepared to find God at work in his deliberate ordinariness. It was a problem. They'd seen Jesus grow up since he was a little boy. They'd seen him work in the carpenter shop with Joseph in Nazareth. No doubt they'd all heard the story of how he got lost when he was coming home from Jerusalem at the age of 12. Now, how could this be a prophet? How could this be the Messiah? How could God work through someone so ordinary as this? It was a problem. Same problem we hear in the first reading, right? In the second book of Kings, the story of Naaman the Syrian. Naaman, the commanding general of the armies of Aaron, mighty Naaman, has got leprosy. But he hears that there's a great prophet in Israel, Elisha, the man of God. So he gathers up his retinue with his 10 silver talents and his 6,000 gold pieces and his 10 festal garments and his letter from the king, and he goes down in grand fashion. And he's expecting something spectacular when he comes face to face with God's deliberate ordinariness. Elisha didn't even come out to see him, if you noticed. He sends a representative. He sends a stand-in who, as you heard, says, "Go wash in the Jordan River." And Naaman says, "Go wash in the river? After all, I've come down here dressed up like one of the great kings of antiquity. I'd go wash in the ordinary." And he said, "No, it's too ordinary." Thank goodness he did it, or we all would have missed out on a great story, right? But he had a problem. We've all had this problem down through history. One thing that makes people roll their eyes when I'm trying to explain the Catholic faith is the ordinariness of our sacraments. And I'll say that our church has something like bread and wine and water and oil and confessing your sins out loud to a priest. And through such things as this, God Almighty washes clean your sins, gives you the gifts of the Holy Spirit, washes clean original sin, infuses you with sanctifying grace, etc., etc. And they roll their eyes. Why? Because they're not prepared to deal with a God so ordinary. Did you know that in the early church, one of the greatest impediments to evangelization was the ordinariness of baptism? For some reason, you go all up and down through the cultures and all across history, you will find religious ceremonies being magnificent spectacles. Spectacles, right? Then along comes this church that says, "Hey, just dunk in water and you'll be given eternal life." And people think, "Water? Water? How could that possibly be? It's so ordinary." With a little lesson for all of us, here's something to remember. A little lesson for all of us here today. If you can't find God in ordinary things, you can't find God, because that's where he's found. Most people miss divinity because they're not looking low enough. The last few days have been pretty extraordinary, haven't they? It's very rare that the whole world just turns on a dime, right? Extraordinary. But I guarantee you, through all this, God is still working in his favorite modus operandi, ordinary things. Things like ordinary routines, ordinary kindness, ordinary chores, ordinary prayer, ordinary repentance. God's modus operandi is still the way in which he's most active in this world. A little thought for you here in the middle of Lent. If something seems too ordinary, pretty good chance it comes straight from heaven. Let's you and I learn to look to find God in the one place he's been hiding by looking right in front of our faces. Amen.